John chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. John chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." Did you hear that?
Yes.
We've all been supplied with one grace after another. I want you to know, God doesn't just have a little bit of grace to get you saved and to get you into heaven, and then you're on your own from there. You just have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, figure out a way to do it. No, we've been supplied with one grace after another. Now, what happens when that grace has, we've used that, there's another one yet, there's another one yet. One grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. I want you to know our God is good. And He has full provision. Everybody say, full provision. Full provision for us. And if we go back to what the Spirit of God said Friday night and what was shared again tonight, we have the invitation from God to zero in on what we need from Him to receive. And He's interested in us receiving what we need. You know, our greatest need, our ultimate need when we were lost was salvation. And before we ever had a problem, God already had provided the solution. Before you were ever born and even committed your first sin, Jesus had already died on the cross to take care of that. And there came a point in time, somebody shared the gospel with us, and we saw that need, and there was a provision already established. We didn't have to talk God into saving us, or talk God into loving us, or talk God into forgiving us. No, the provision was made on Calvary. And we just received it, tapped into it, partook of it at whatever point in time that we say, well, this is when I accepted Jesus. We were partaking of what God had made available for us long before. But it's not just a matter of grace to take care of our past and grace to get us into heaven. How many of you know there's some time between when our sins were forgiven and when we get to step into heaven? There's this thing called life. And during that life, we need more grace. We need grace after grace, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and gift heaped upon gift, because there are things that we have to deal with in life. And the other expressions of grace beyond just saving grace speak of those issues in life that we need from heaven. We need sanctifying grace to overcome the temptations of the world, to overcome the influence of sinful temptations in the flesh. We need sanctifying grace. And we read today where Paul said that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us or training us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. So sanctifying grace is God's ability that's available to us to be cleansed from anything that has contaminated us, and to lift us up above so that we can live righteously before God. And then in addition to temptations and issues of that nature, there are circumstances of life, there are pressures, there are obstacles, there are persecutions, there are trials and challenges. And Paul said those who receive the abundance of grace, not just a little bit, but the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will what? Will reign in life. So they're strengthening grace to overcome the circumstances of life. And then, you know, we all face issues of provision. And in the world, there is an issue of poverty that tries to create a mindset of lack and deprivation. And the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There is sharing grace. God shares His generosity with us and invites us to share in the same cheerful giving that He does. Did you know that God is a cheerful giver? God doesn't give to us reluctantly. He gives to us liberally, and God gives cheerfully. And did you know, I don't think I told you this today, but the word grace in the Greek language is related to the word for joy. So anytime that God's grace is in operation, it gives Him joy to save you. It gives Him joy to empower your sanctification. It gives Him joy to empower your strength in life. It gives Him joy to meet your needs. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Man, God doesn't give to us reluctantly or, you know, grudgingly. He is a cheerful giver. And then there is also a great need, not only for us to be saved and sanctified and strong and supplied and generous in life, but there's a need for us to serve. Because we'll never be fulfilled until we've found an avenue to serve God with the gifts and the abilities that He has given us. So what I'm saying to you is that between saving grace, sanctifying grace, strengthening grace, sharing grace, and serving grace, here's what I'm saying. We have received one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now that's what God has given. But here's the question, how much of what God has given are we receiving? Because God can give a whole lot that we don't receive. God can give a whole lot that we kind of ignore and don't tap into. It's one thing for God to give it, it's another thing for man to receive it. So it brings us to the question, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight, how can I, as a believer, make sure that I'm actually receiving and partaking that grace and that it's really having that benefit in my life. You know, the Bible says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Did you know it says that? Don't receive the grace of God in vain. So that means it's not just what He gives, it's what I receive, it's what I implement, it's what I apply in my life. How much of this grace is actually being applied? How much of this am I actually enjoying and partaking of? To go back to our illustration from this morning of electricity, did you know that you could have full electricity flowing into your house, but that doesn't mean you're enjoying it? You could have everything unplugged, and yet your house has all the electricity there. See, it's one thing for the electricity to flow into your home. It's another thing for you to partake of its benefits. It's one thing for the grace of God to have been available to us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's another thing for us to partake of it and allow it to be applied and enjoyed in our life. And what I want to share with you this evening is how do you and I really access the grace of God? Right up the street here is the Palisades Parkway. And, I've noticed I'm sure there's rush hour where the traffic may not move on it, but the times I've been on it, the traffic is moving really well, much more so than the side streets where there's a lot of stoplights. And a parkway or an expressway is kind of like the grace of God. There can be a good flow on it, but here's the thing, you have to get on it. You have to access the parkway. You could stand off to the side on a crowded street where everybody stopped at the stoplight. You could look over there and say, wow, traffic over there is really moving. Wish I was on that. Well, wishing doesn't get you on it. What do you have to do? You have to get on the access ramp. And you have to actually get on it. And once you're on it, you can enjoy the flow of it. I'm going to give you tonight 4 access ramps to the grace of God. How do we access His grace? And these 4 principles apply to each realm, each area of the grace of God, each dimension. And the first is a very simple one, and it's called faith. Everybody say faith. I know you know some things about faith, but we're going to share some thoughts about faith tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." Do you know how awesome it is to be justified? To be justified means that we have been declared righteous by God. And not just declared righteous, but actually made righteous. The Bible says that God made Him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And legally, there was that transaction 2,000 years ago where Jesus bore our sin and died for our sin, rose from the dead. The Bible says He was raised for our justification. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, now right standing with God is available to us. And the Bible says, having been justified by faith. Now, what we need to understand is that grace is what God did. Faith is what we accept. Faith is us reaching out with an open hand and receiving the provision of what God provides. In His grace, God provides. In faith, we receive. Faith is trusting God. And so the Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have, what's that word? Access. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through faith, we have access into grace. We have access by faith into this grace. Now, I love this sanctuary, and I enjoy the sanctuary. It's a beautiful place, but I enjoy it because you all are here. And you guys come in here and celebrate and rejoice and praise God, and the presence of God comes in. I mean, how could you not enjoy this place? But you know what? If this auditorium existed, but there were no doors, we'd have a problem because we couldn't get in here. It could have all these nice pews. It could have the pulpit, the organ, the piano. It could have everything in here. But if there's not doors, you can't get in here. Did you know that through the doors we access this sanctuary? You got to have the sanctuary, but you have to have the doors to get in here. Through faith, we access grace. Grace is what God has provided. Faith is our acceptance of that grace. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. See, I've heard people say, well, I used to be a faith person, but now I'm a grace person. Did you know that God never said, choose ye this day? Whether you'll have grace or faith. I'm telling you what, we have to have grace and faith. What was the verse we looked at this morning for saving grace? By grace are you saved through faith. Now, tomorrow morning, Lisa and I will get on an airplane over at Westchester County, and we will fly to Chicago, and then we'll fly to Tulsa. And the pilot had better not come on and say, now, which wing would you like to stay on this airplane, the left wing or the right wing? No, I want both wings. God never said choose faith or grace. We need grace and we need faith. Grace is what God did, and faith is our acceptance of what God did. If God did it, if there's grace, but we don't have faith, we don't accept it, His grace is in vain as far as you and I are concerned. On the other hand, if I try to have faith and God was not gracious, I could believe all day long. But if he didn't provide it in his grace, my faith doesn't have anything to grab hold of. So the first way that we access the grace of God is through faith. So everything that we believe, everything when we say, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, the object of our faith is his nature, his character, everything that he did for us in Christ Jesus. I'm not just believing in the air, I'm believing in what his grace, who he is, and what he's provided for me. By faith, I access the grace of God. So, if you're dealing this week with temptation to sin, if you're dealing with being overwhelmed with pressure and problems, if you're facing financial lack, then what you want to do is you want to realize that God in his grace has already made a provision for you. And in faith, you say, Lord, I lay hold by faith of what you have provided for me in your grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. Now, the second way that we access the grace of God is through knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, we know that knowledge is important. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall what? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, it's assuming it's the truth we know that sets us free. Hosea, God said through the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we know that knowledge is important, but 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 gives us a statement about the relationship between grace and knowledge. In 2 Peter 1 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied. How many of you like multiplication? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, that word knowledge is very specific in the Greek language. It doesn't mean a general informational type knowledge. It literally means a full personal knowledge, like an intimate acquaintance, somebody that you know deeply and personally. And here's what is so awesome about this. The Bible says that when we know God, when we know him, and when we know Jesus Christ, that literally grace and peace are multiplied unto us through that knowledge. How many of you want to know him more? I'll tell you what, God, he wants to be known. Have you ever heard somebody make the ridiculous statement, well, you know, you just can't really know God. Can't really know God. He doesn't want you to know him. What? He gave us 66 books about himself. 66 books that we call the Bible. Somebody who doesn't want to be known doesn't write 66 books about themselves. Jesus came to this earth and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It doesn't look like he was trying to hide. God was bending over backwards to reveal himself. Jesus said, the words I speak are the Father's words. The works I do, it's really the Father in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says that he is the express image of the invisible God. I'm telling you what, God wants us to know him. We know him through the Bible. We know him through the person of Jesus Christ. We know him through the Holy Spirit who's come to indwell us. And if we will listen and yield and surrender and submit to the influence of the Holy Spirit, he will lead us and guide us into all truth. Why? Because God wants us to know him. And when we know him, grace is multiplied. Peace is multiplied when we know him. Let me tell you another way we know him. We know him through one another. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why being a part of a good, strong local church like this is important, because we get to know Him because He shines out of each one of us. When we are yielded to Him, when we are filled with the Spirit, when we are walking in the love of God toward one another, He's revealed through each of us. There's a little girl that went to church, and she heard her little Sunday school lesson. And on the way home, she said, "Mama," she said, my school teacher, my Sunday school teacher said that God is bigger than everything. Is that right?" And Mama said, "Yeah, hon, that's right. God's bigger than everything." And the little girl said, "And she also said that God lives on the inside of us. Is that right?" And the mom said, "Yeah, honey, that's right too." And the little girl said, "Well, Mom, if God's bigger than everything, and if He lives on the inside of us, shouldn't He show through?" How many of you know that little girl had it? She understood it. She got it. God should show through us. And when you show mercy, when you show kindness, when somebody comes in, they've had that kind of week that kind of seemed to beat the daylights out of them, and you hug them and you encourage them and all that, God's coming through you to encourage them. We know God through His Word, through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, through one another. And grace and peace are multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's a third access ramp to the grace of God, and it is humility. Everybody say humility. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "He gives more grace." More grace. See, this is why I believe very strongly that grace is given freely by God, but it is not automatically enjoyed by man. Because you have to receive the grace. You remember we read that in John chapter 1. He gives grace upon grace and spiritual favor upon spiritual favor and blessing upon blessing. Gift heaped upon gift. But the fact that He's given it all doesn't mean that we've received it all. Doesn't mean that we've accessed it all. Or that we are enjoying it all. How many of you remember the old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Wow. Man, there's enough pain in life. I don't want the needless pain. I sure don't want to forfeit any of the peace of God. But we can do that by not fully tapping into the grace of God. And one way that we do tap into the grace of God is through humility. He gives more grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want to know a way? Now, please understand this. I'm not saying you're not saved. But you can be fully saved when it comes to, you know, heaven and forgiveness of sins. You trust 100% in Jesus for saving grace. But you can face some challenges in your life. And did you know that a lot of times Christians struggle more with the little things? What the Bible says, the little foxes spoil the vine. And the reason that is sometimes is when we face a major traumatic crisis, what do? Well, we turn to God. We run to God when we face the major traumatic crisis. What do when we face little annoying problems sometimes? Well, I can handle that. I can handle that. And God says, "Oh, really? You can, huh? So you don't need me. Is that what you're saying?" God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. What is pride? Pride is when you trust in yourself instead of Him. D.L. Moody said this, "God sends no one away empty except for the person who is full of himself." And we need to have the attitude expressed in the old hymn, "I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Because when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know what He does? He gives more grace. More grace. Isn't that awesome? So grace is accessed. We access the grace of God when we trust Him. Through faith, we access grace. We have grace multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. And then when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He gives more grace to the humble. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. See, when you humble yourself, what does He do? He gives you more grace. What does grace do? Grace lifts you up. Not in a prideful, arrogant way, but in a godly, victorious type way. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He lifts us up. So I've got to trust God. I need to know God. I need to humble myself before God. And then number four, the fourth way that we access the grace of God is boldness. Everybody say boldness. Now, some people think there's a contradiction because we just talked about humility, humbling, and God gives more grace to the humble. But then we tell you that boldness is a way of accessing grace. Some people think that boldness is the opposite of humility. And really, it's not. Boldness and humility work perfectly together. Arrogance is the opposite of humility, not boldness. There's a difference between, see, boldness, biblical boldness, is a confidence that we have based on God. Arrogance is a confidence that we have based on self, trusting in the arm of the flesh. So we're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about a conceited, arrogant, trusting in yourself, thinking that you're the hottest thing ever. No, we're talking about boldness, which is a confidence based on God and His Word and His nature and His kindness. And that's why Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that awesome? If it weren't a throne of grace, you wouldn't want to be going boldly. If it was a throne of harsh judgment, you wouldn't want to go there at all. But it's a throne of grace. And what does the Bible say? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. It's interesting. He talks about obtaining mercy. Now, this is clearly written to born-again believers, people who fully trust in Jesus Christ. But did you know that even as born-again believers, we still need mercy once in a while? I would be very, very concerned for you if you came up to me and said, Brother Cook, I have reached a plateau of such great spiritual magnitude that I no longer need mercy. Brother, you just need mercy because of what you just said. You need mercy and wisdom and correction and repentance. And no, you know, the Bible says we all miss it in many ways. Did you know that? And there's some times we miss, we don't even know we miss it. When we come to the throne of grace, we obtain mercy. And we find grace to help. Now, what's the difference between mercy and grace? One definition is that mercy is not getting what you deserved. How many of you are thankful that God doesn't deal with you according to what you deserve? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the fact that we have been spared from spiritual death is a mercy because it means we don't get the punishment that we deserved. So mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. All the blessings, all the provision. Let's say that you are driving through a small town in upstate New York, and we'll just pretend it's like Mayberry, you know, where when you get pulled over, Barney takes you right into the Barney takes you right in to see the justice of the peace, the sheriff, right away. And so you get pulled over, you're speeding, and you get caught speeding, and the judge says, "How do you plead?" And you say, "Well, guilty. He caught me. I was going too fast." And the judge says, "Well, that's $150 penalty fee, fine." But he said, "You know what? I'm not going to charge that to you. I'm going to take care of it myself. I like you for some reason. I'm going to take care of that myself." So that's mercy. You did not get what you deserved. But then the judge looks at you and says, "You know what? I like you so much. I just got a new car yesterday. It's all paid for. I'm going to give you the new car." See, not having to pay the penalty is mercy, because you did not get what you deserved. When he decides to give you a gift of a free car, that's grace. That's getting what you did not deserve. Now, I will say this. Sometimes if we'll go to the throne of grace and get grace, we won't need as much mercy. Right. You know, we can kind of ahead of time get strengthened so that we end up resisting instead of later having to repent. But I'm never going to, you know, get to the point where I think, well, you know, I don't need mercy anymore. No, we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. Now, so these four areas, faith, everybody say faith. Knowledge, humility, boldness. These are ways that we access the grace of God. So as you begin to deal with God and you begin to praise Him and worship Him for His grace, just every once in a while, just make sure, hey, am I trusting God? Am I believing God? Am I taking God at His word? Am I claiming His promises? Am I declaring His word? Am I operating in faith? How's my knowledge of God? Am I getting to know Him more? And just humility. Lord, am I remembering that You get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for everything? And Lord, am I coming boldly before You? And I'll tell you what, you will enjoy, you will partake of the grace of God more and more and more. Now, I do want to look at one other thing with you before we close tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to talk just for a quick minute about not just what does grace provide, but what does grace produce. A lot of people focus on the provision of God and what God's grace provides, but I want to look at what does God's grace produce. I think I alluded this morning to that song, "I've got something on the inside working on the outside." And grace, where it starts on the inside. Our relationship with God needs to be from the inside out. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." There's grace and faith working together again. Grace and faith are great friends. They are partners. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Now, whose works is he talking about there? He's talking about our works. Because our salvation is of works. Jesus' works. It's what Jesus did. But he's talking about us. It's not of our works, lest any of us should boast. Now, let me just tell you about a danger area, kind of a warning. And I think you guys are so well trained and so well taught. I'm not really concerned about any of you falling trapped to this or prey to this. But you may interact with some people that maybe don't have the same grounding and the same good, solid teaching of the Word as you do. There are people who are kind of always looking for a loophole. You know what I'm talking about? They're always looking for a loophole. And some people believe that since we're saved by grace, and not by works, that works are no longer important. And there are actually some people who have gotten so excited about grace, they used to serve God, but now they don't serve God anymore. They're just resting in Jesus. Does grace cause you to quit working for God? It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. But look at the very next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wait a minute. I thought he just said it wasn't works, and now he says, but we need to look at this very clearly. We're not saved by works. We are saved for works. In other words, works are still important, but here's what we understand. Works are not the root of our salvation. But works, good works, are to be the fruit of our salvation. In other words, I don't work in order to get saved. That would be contrary to everything. I don't work in order to get saved, but having been saved by grace, that should so exhilarate our soul and create such thankfulness in my life that I want to do something for God's glory. And man, after all, he's done so much for me, but maybe I could do something for somebody else. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice what kind of works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, you weren't created for dead religious works. You know, the Bible talks about works of the law, where you're trying to earn the love of God and earn acceptance and earn forgiveness. No, you weren't saved for dead religious works. You were saved for what kind of works? Good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So good works are still part of the package. They're just not the root of our salvation, but good works are the fruit of our salvation. We're not saved by works, but we are saved for good works. And again, the works that we are to walk in are the ones which God prepared beforehand. Do you know before you were ever born, God already had some things in mind for you to do? Some activities, some works, some things that you could do to serve other people, things that he put gifts on the inside of you for. Now, everybody has different gifts. Now, we're kind of going back to serving grace here, but everybody has different gifts. And I'm going to tell you what, whatever the works were that God prepared beforehand that you should walk in, don't you think he would have given you the gifts appropriate for the works that you're called to? And that's why when you find the will of God, when you begin to fulfill the will of God for your life, it will be the greatest joy of your life because you're doing what you were born to do. You were born not just to be a recipient of his grace, but you were born to be a distributor of his grace. Good works which God prepared beforehand. And what I want you to understand about grace is this, is that grace, it doesn't make works unnecessary. It makes works possible. The right kind of works. Grace doesn't make repentance unnecessary. Grace makes repentance possible. That's why we're invited to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Grace doesn't make obedience unnecessary. Grace makes obedience possible. Grace doesn't make consecration unnecessary. Grace makes consecration possible. What is grace? It's the overflowing, unconditional love of God released on our behalf for our benefit, infused into our life by the Holy Spirit, applied by the Spirit of God, based on everything that Jesus has done for us. And I want you to know tonight, let me just read this one more time in closing, out of His fullness. Aren't you glad that Jesus was full of grace? The Bible says He was full of grace. The grace of God was upon Him, and gracious words proceeded out of His mouth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Out of His fullness and abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Is it any wonder that Paul told Timothy, Timothy, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Keep experiencing it. Keep partaking of it. Keep feasting. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Timothy, receive. Keep growing in grace. I don't know about you, but I want to tap into all the grace of God. I don't want His grace just to be a theory in my life. I don't want it just to be a theological concept in my life. I want to partake of the grace of God and be full of His grace and empowered by His grace. What? To walk in the fullness of the salvation that Jesus purchased for me, to walk in the fullness of sanctification, separation from the world, cleansing from the corruption of the world. I want to walk in strengthening grace where I can look at any trial, any problem, any circumstance and say, that's all right. His grace is sufficient for me. I want to look at any financial need or lack and say, that's okay, because God is able to make all grace abound toward me, so that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I want to look at any ministry opportunity and say, God, You've given me grace to serve. And I'm going to serve. I'm going to live out of Your grace in every area of my life. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' precious holy name, thank You for the grace that we have. Thank You, God, that You are for us and not against us. Thank You that we can always run to You and never have to run away from You. Because, God, You're so eager. Father, You're so desirous to help us, to strengthen us. Father, tonight we believe You. I want You to go ahead and take that area, as You were exhorted earlier. Find that area. What are you believing God for tonight? What are you believing God for this week? Are you looking for some sanctifying grace to grow in holiness, to grow in Christ-likeness, to further your separation from the world? Are you looking for strengthening grace this week to overcome pressures, problems, challenges, circumstances? Are you looking for sharing grace to overcome lack, to overcome an inability to be generous as you would desire to be? Are you trusting God for more serving grace so that you can be more productive, more fruitful, more effective in your work and in your labor for the Lord? Go ahead, lift up a hand right now and thank Him for that. Be very specific with Him about what it is that you're desiring. Go ahead and partake of that, of faith. Lay hold of that by faith. Refresh yourself about the knowledge of Him so that His grace can be multiplied. Humble yourself before Him and be very bold about partaking of that grace. Father, we just want to thank You for it right now. We give You praise for that right now. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is more than enough. We thank You and we praise You for it. We thank You that our lives are going to be changed because of Your grace. We thank You, Lord, because of Your grace, there is no shame. There is no condemnation to us in Christ Jesus. We thank You that we can always run into your open, loving arms and receive all that we need from you. In Jesus' precious name. With head still bowed, eyes still closed, let me just ask this one question. I know that on a Sunday night, most everybody that comes is a believer, but is there anybody here tonight? There may be different ones here tonight that your relationship with God is not what it should be. There may be people here tonight, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There may be people here tonight that, you know, maybe you're from a religious background and you think, well, I've been a good person, so I'm probably okay. Listen, I love you enough to tell you that nobody's okay based on how good they've been, because the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And every single person needs forgiveness. Every single person needs what Jesus said, you must be born again. And there may be people here tonight that you were living for God at one time, but you've gotten away from God. You're like the prodigal son. You've been running from God instead of running to Him. And tonight you need to run back to God.